Good morning. This morning's first lesson is from the book of Genesis, chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. May the Lord bless this scripture reading. Today's second lesson is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 7 and 11 through 16. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth and building itself up in love. May the Lord bless this reading.
Well, first I want to say you all really know how to throw a party. Joan and I are deeply grateful and want to express our appreciation to all those who had any part in preparing for Andy Palooza, to those who spent time out in the sun weeding around the church property to make sure it looked good, to those who worked in decorating, to preparing and serving food, to those who offered their musical gifts, for the many gifts that we received, and just for the presence that you brought to that event. We will always be grateful. I have found myself this last week kind of walking the building, trying to absorb it all. This morning, in fact, I walked very slowly in from the parking lot, just trying to soak it all in. I've been thinking for weeks, if not months, what it would be like to sit up here for the last time and look out at you all, and I'm just trying to slow everything down to the extent that I can, so you may be prepared for a longer sermon than normal here, because I just don't want to quit. I think you probably are okay, but the folks who come at the 11 o'clock service may be in trouble. I feel a little bit like I've died and gone to heaven. I mean, where else do you get to hear your favorite hymns and anthems sung, have your family sitting in the front row together of the church, and hear people say nice things about you except at your funeral? And I am blessed to be able to experience all those things while I'm still among the living. You know, I do want to express my appreciation to you for one other thing. Back in April, within the span of just a couple of days, we had two what were for me very difficult memorial services, and at that point, I kind of decreed that nobody else in the Glenmar congregation could die before I retired. And I want to thank you for cooperating. I think I might want to paraphrase Lou Gehrig this morning and just say that I feel like I am probably the most blessed person on the face of the earth. But we are all blessed. We are all abundantly blessed. By any measure, you are blessed. You're blessed as individuals to live in a nation like this with the freedoms that we enjoy, to live in this place with a standard of living that most of the world can only dream of, if they even can imagine it enough to dream about it. You are blessed as a congregation with the many gifted individuals who over the last 24 hours have offered their gifts as an example of the richness of blessing that God has placed here. You are blessed with this location and this building that are so well designed to offer and support ministry to the needs of a hurting community and world. You are you are richly and abundantly blessed. And we're often encouraged to count our blessings. You may remember the little song that goes, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. You may not be as familiar with an alternate text, an additional line that is provided for that hymn, and it says this, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. I think it does surprise us. See, I'm an old journalist, which means I'm not content with the who, what, when, and where. I always want to dig deeper and understand the why. So I ask, why do we have so many blessings? Why are we so richly blessed? And I think the story of Abram in Genesis provides that answer. There are two key words in this passage of Scripture from the 12th chapter of Genesis. Remember, God said to Abram, I will bless you so that you will be a blessing. What the Bible makes clear is that blessings are not meant purely for our enjoyment. Certainly, we benefit from our many blessings, but their purpose goes far beyond our enjoyment. What we discover is that God never gives a blessing as a reward for past service, but always as a way of equipping us to serve. I wasn't sure what I was going to say this morning, so I just copied down some sayings I saw on the window out here and thought maybe they would fit. Over the 31 years that we have had together in ministry, someone pointed out earlier, by the way, this morning it's 31 and a half years. Our granddaughter is big on reminding us that years have parts and that you can be 5 and a half or 5 3/4 before you're 6. But over the years that we've shared in ministry, however many years that you and I have been together, we have been richly blessed. The time here at Glenmar has been a great blessing for Joan and me and for our family. We weren't all that sure about that at first. When we first came, we weren't sure this was the place we really wanted to be, but I think all of us would agree at this point that the time that we've been able to share with you here at Glenmar has been one of God's greatest blessings in our lives. And I trust that by God's grace, it's been a blessing for you as well. But like every other blessing, it's not meant simply for our benefit. It's not meant simply to help us grow in our faith. It's not meant simply to help us feel better about our place in life. It is meant to equip us to serve. And so what I'm asking in my own mind, what I'm seeking to discern right now is, how has God used these 31 years that I've been blessed to be at Glenmar to equip me to serve God in the future? And I take heart from the story of old Abram. He had 10 years on me when he began his ministry. Abram, the story says, was 75 years old when he was called into ministry. So I trust that God has something more in store for me. You don't ever retire from ministry, whether ordained or not. That, I think, is true. There is no retirement. You never cross the finish line. So I'm asking, what is God doing to use the blessing that I've experienced here to equip me to serve in the future? And what I would ask you, my prayer for you, is that you would be seeking to discern how God is using the blessing of our time together to equip you to serve in the world. You know, we've really been preparing for this for a long time. When Joan and I first came to Glenmar, as you've been reminded earlier, the staff was mighty small, and I did pretty much everything that was done in ministry. There wasn't anything that I didn't participate in. But now, I say facetiously to my friends, I do almost nothing around here anymore. And while there's an element of facetiousness in that, there is even more truth. Literally, everything, almost everything I once did in ministry, you now do. What I have tried to do is to invest my time in you. to spend as much time as I can meeting with individuals, trying to encourage you to discover your gifts and find ways to use them in serving others. As a means to that end, I've used over the years what has come to be known as my branch office. Some of you may not know. I closed down my branch office this last Wednesday. My branch office is at Bob Evans over off of Route 100. I want to tell you that, and I used to use the old Bob Evans before that one was there. And early on in our time at Glenmar, Jonah and I bought stock in Bob Evans. We ended up giving it to the church. So you've benefited. You have benefited from my branch office at Bob Evans. But what I would try to do there, just to give you one example, when I first came to Glenmar, the only one who was ever asked to pray was me. You know, we'd go to a potluck dinner, we'd go to an auction, we'd go to a committee meeting or a Bible study, and every head would turn to me and I'd be asked to pray. And I thought, you know, that's really not the way the Bible describes life. We talk about the priesthood of all believers, the ministry of all believers. And so I began this strategic initiative, and you may not have recognized it as that if you were a part of it, but what I would do is I would invite members of Glenmar to breakfast or lunch at my branch office, and I would say, here's the deal. I'll pay, you pray. It cost me a ton of money over the years, but it worked. I mean, in fact, I kind of overshot the mark. Now I'm never asked to pray. I mean, you go to a Bible study, you go to a church meeting, you go to a worship service, who is it that prays? It's not the pastor, it's the people. And that's what my ministry has been all about. It's been about equipping you and helping you to do what God has called you to do. What I've tried to do is to help you discover your gifts and your calling, to encourage you to do the things, to try things you might have never considered possible, to train and support you as you step out in ministry, and then to celebrate and exalt with you when you do great things, as you do so often. You know, in some ways, the best thing I ever did was to get out of the way and let God use you and your gifts to do great things. Now, I'd have to admit that to some extent, God has dragged me kicking and screaming to this point. But today, I can honestly say to you that I experience greater joy and fulfillment in watching you do ministry than in doing ministry myself. Because that's been my ministry, is to equip you. You see, I have been called to be your shepherd, your pastor and teacher, and the word pastor means shepherd. That's literally what the word means. My calling has been to be your shepherd, to be your pastor and teacher. That's been my blessing that I've sought to use to bless others. And Ephesians, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, supplies the so that for my particular blessing. You may remember that Paul says, the gifts he gave were that some would be pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. And that's been my calling, to equip the saints. That's you, the people who are called and gifted by God for ministry. And my role, my ministry, has been to be your shepherd, to teach and to preach and to equip you for the work of ministry. Now, at the recent Baltimore-Washington annual conference session, one of our visiting preachers, Bishop James Swanson, put it a little differently. He asked a question. He said, where do sheep come from? Where do sheep come from? You can answer, where do sheep come from? Other sheep. Right. Bishop Swanson said, what I would want to say to you this morning, I have never seen a sheep produced by a shepherd. Right? Sheep come from other sheep. Shepherds can care for sheep. Shepherds can guide sheep. Shepherds can seek to feed sheep, but shepherds cannot produce other sheep. So my role, my calling for these 31 and a half years has been to seek to care for you, to try to guide you, to do my best to feed you with God's Word so that you can produce other sheep, so that you can use your gifts and blessings to bring others into a relationship with Jesus Christ and produce more disciples who will follow the Good Shepherd. And your ability to do that does not depend on me, nor does it depend on you. It depends, as it always has, on God, on the God who unfailingly provides. When we are seeking to do what God is calling us to do, God will always provide whatever it takes. I believe that absolutely and literally. We would not be here in this place, on this piece of ground, if God had not provided it. You would not be the people you are if God had not provided. For 31 years, God has provided leadership for the flock called Glenmar through me, in my gifts and my blessings. And God will continue to provide leadership for the flock called Glenmar through the shepherd known as Pastor Matt Poole, whose gifts and blessings will be used by God to bless you so that your gifts can become a blessing to others for many years of fruitful ministry. But remember, I am only a shepherd. Pastor Matt is only a shepherd. You are the sheep. You are the ones who have received gifts and blessings so that you can produce other sheep, so that you can lead others into a relationship with Jesus, so that you can feed the hungry, clothe the naked, house the homeless, so that you can praise God, grow disciples, and serve the world, because you are blessed to be a blessing. Amen.